Will you please rise for the reading of our gospel lesson this morning? It comes from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm going to go a little bit church geek on you right now. I want to tell you how I have learned in recent years to appreciate the Christian calendar, the church calendar. It took me a long time to get to that place. I always kind of saw it as in the way, you know, except for the biggies like Easter and Christmas, got to do that. But today is one of those days, and we enter these seasons of preparation in the church. There's two of them that are, the first is Advent, the Christmas season, and we prepare to get ready to welcome Jesus as a baby into our lives and into the world. And right before the first Sunday in Advent, the Sunday right before it, is Christ the King Sunday. So before you get little baby Jesus, we're reminded of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Creed says, seateth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We get big Jesus before we go to little baby Jesus. The same is true as we enter into the season of Lent. Lent is a time when we're reminded of a very human Jesus. Jesus who was able to suffer and to die for us. And right before we enter into Lent, the Sunday right before is today, Transfiguration Sunday. It's a day when we retell the story when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a mountain and he was transfigured before them. And they saw Jesus and the glory of God shining in and through him. And so before we get these seasons of remembering the human Jesus, the church gives us this exalted King Jesus. And we need both of those to understand who he fully was and is for us. And so today we're going to spend some time looking at this story, the Transfiguration story. And on the screen behind me is Raphael's rendition of what that might have looked like. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for your presence with us, for you make yourself known to us in so many ways. And so God, this morning we pray that you might make yourself known to us in this moment. God, open our hearts, minds, and spirits that we might hear your word spoken to us and we might leave this place knowing we were in your presence. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you ever been in that place? Have you ever been in that place where God is just so real to you in that moment? Have you been in that place where it's almost tangible? You just want to reach out because you're pretty sure the Spirit's right there. And I just want to grab it. Have you ever found yourself in that place where you're not thinking about God at that moment? You're with God at that moment. And you know, even just for a brief moment, that you're in his presence. And he is right there beside you. there are lots of ways that we can experience that. This weekend, on Friday and Saturday, 22 of our girls and their chaperones from our church went to the Revolve Tour at the Denver Coliseum. And in that place, in the Denver Coliseum, I haven't talked to them yet this year, but I heard last year that they experienced the very presence of God. They felt very moved by God's presence in that place through the speakers, through the concerts and the songs that were sung. And there was this sense that they really wanted that to continue. They really wanted that feeling to keep going. And so our high school girls small group that meets every week grew up out of last year's Revolve event because the girls wanted to stay together and wanted to continue to experience God in their lives in very real and powerful ways. You see, sometimes when we come to this story of Transfiguration, we think of this as an event, boy, we would really like to be part of. And yeah, I would really like to have been there that day. But I think we have those moments from time to time in our lives. We have those moments when God is right there with us. Sometimes it happens in the very big moments, like when we go on a retreat, like the Revolve event. And sometimes it happens just in the stillness of a moment. Peter, James, and John up the mountain react, I think, very much like us. One, when God shows up, they're scared. Bible says they were frightened. Oh yeah, God's in the place. There's this sense of just fear. The Bible says that Peter just babbled something and they were because they were confused. Uh-huh. Not an everyday event. And they didn't know how to respond, didn't know how to react. They heard a word from God. God said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And then the one thing that I relate to really well is, did you hear what Peter wanted to do when he was babbling? He wanted to build shelters for Jesus and Elijah and Moses. You know, I think because Peter didn't want to go home. Can you guys live here with us? Can we stay on this mountain? Can we have this holy moment? I don't want this to end. And if you have been in that place, you know exactly what we're talking about. I don't want this to end. I want to be with God as long as humanly possible. And so Peter, in his babbling, in his confusion, in his fear, says, "Let's build you guys houses," as if they need them. But the sentiment is, let's just stay. Let's just stay. You see, I think Peter, James, and John were experiencing something that we experience on other levels as well. Times when the glory of God just shines through and breaks in to our everyday existence. But see, for me, I think that's why Moses and Elijah are there. Moses and Elijah are the two guys in the Old Testament who stood in the presence of God and lived to tell about it. Moses has this great story. Moses was mad. He's in the desert and the people are grumbling and Moses is angry. And finally he just says to God, "Show me your glory." That's not nice. God, are you real? I've prayed that prayer, right? You've prayed that prayer. God, show me you're real. And God says to Moses, "Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock and I'm going to cover you with my hand and I'm going to walk by. And you're going to know that I was just there." Wonderful, warm moment. God decides to show Moses his very presence in that place. Elijah has a similar experience. Elijah, I think, was trying to resign. He didn't want to be a prophet anymore because he says, "God, they're killing all the prophets. I don't want to do this." And God says, "To encourage you, I'll show you who I am." And then you get that famous story of Elijah looks for God in the earthquake and God's not in the earthquake. And he looks for him in the fire and he's not in the fire. And he looks for him in the mighty wind and he's not in the wind. but God is there in just a gentle whisper. Two guys who have been in the presence of God and lived to tell about it show up on the mountain of transfiguration. I think it's so there's no confusion that this is God shining through Jesus. This is God's presence in a very real way with Jesus. A theologian that I particularly like to read calls these times thin places. He said, imagine that there is between our tangible world and the heavenly world. Imagine there's a wall or a veil that's between those two worlds. And then he says, every once in a while, the wall gets really thin and we get to see God. We can experience the thin places. That moment of transfiguration for Peter, James, and John, that was a thin place. That was a really thin place. God was right there in that moment, and they got to see Jesus in all of his heavenly glory, the exalted Christ in that moment. You and I have those experiences as well. We have those thin places. When I was a youth pastor in New Jersey, I used to take our youth group to a retreat every winter. Every January, we went to the Midwinter Advance. And it was always held in the same place every year. It was a retreat center called America's Keswick. And we would go there one January weekend. And Friday night was fun. We played volleyball. And all day Saturday, there were tournaments. And then Saturday night, there was a presentation of the gospel. And my youth group called that cry night. Because when God shows up, somehow we start to cry. And our youth here on our mission trips on Thursday night, we get a similar presentation of the gospel, and guess what our youth call it? Cry night. God shows up and tears begin to flow. And so on Saturday nights for this youth group, and because it always happened in the same place, God would show up in very real and very powerful ways, and my youth group began to think that's where God lived. I was convinced that they thought this was the only place that they could experience God. And at the end of the retreat on Sunday morning, the leaders of the retreat kind of turned the kids back over to us to prepare them to go home. Thank you very much. Because every one of them was Peter at that moment. I want to live here. I want to go to church in that chapel every Sunday because that's where God shows up. And that's where I want to be. And my job was to prepare them to go home down the mountain. Did you notice how the transfiguration story ends? I want to read you the version of the last line from the message. It's Mark chapter 9, verse 8. And I just like the way the message says it. It says, the next minute the disciples were looking around, rubbing their eyes, seeing nothing but Jesus, only Jesus. It's like they blinked and it was over. They were in the presence of God 1 minute, and the next minute, done. Back to normal. And Jesus was leading them down the mountain. Peter's idea of building shelters up on the mountain, Jesus didn't go for that. He didn't say that was a good idea. And throughout his ministry, he didn't lead them up another mountain and do this again. He didn't expect them to find those thin places just in the special experiences. Instead, Jesus began to share with the disciples and with you and I that the thin places aren't just on the mountaintops, but we need to find them in our everyday existence. That God isn't out there somewhere far away, but that God is all around us at all times and in all places. And when we prepare our hearts, well, every once in a while, we see him in very real in very powerful ways. A 20th century monk by the name of Thomas Merton said it this way. He said, life is this simple. We're living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and God is shining through it all the time. This is not just a fable or a nice story. It's true. If we abandon ourselves to God and forget ourselves, we get to see it sometimes, and we see it maybe frequently. God shows himself everywhere in everything, in people and in things and in nature and in events. It becomes very obvious that God is everywhere and in everything, and we cannot be without him. It's impossible. The only thing is that we don't see it. And what I hear in that is that we don't always have to find the mountaintop experiences. But God's everywhere. Everywhere. And we need to recognize God's presence in our lives all the time. Sometimes it happens in the big things, and I have a goofy example that I'm going to give you and put myself out there a little bit. I, years ago, went to a Creed concert. I was a fan of Creed. They used a lot of biblical imagery in their songs. Heavy-duty rock show, for those of you who don't know who Creed is, but heavy rock music, wonderful biblical imagery in their songs. I have no idea if they knew what they were singing about. Don't know. But at the end of one of the concerts, at the end of one of the songs, it's called What's This Life For? And there's a tagline that says, "We all live under the reign of just one king." And at that moment, the whole crowd, 15,000 people at the Continental Airlines Arena, were singing, "We all live under the reign of just one king." And I took my eyes off the stage for a moment. I looked up in the rafters, and I'm telling you, I saw Jesus, and he liked that a lot. Whether they knew what they were doing or not, in that moment was a holy moment for me. 15,000 people proclaiming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, singing, "We all reign. We all live under the reign of just one king." Powerful stuff for me in that moment. But you know, it's not always the big stuff. Sometimes it's just getting out in the woods in the quiet, and we're not thinking about anything else, and God shows up. Sometimes it's a sunset or a snowfall. Sometimes it's a friendship and it's sharing across the table. And in that moment, you recognize God speaking through my friend. There's a lot of everyday, ordinary stuff that happens in our lives, and God's right there in it. And the trick is to begin to see his presence every step along the way. God's not an out there somewhere God. He's a right here, right now God. Thinning the walls between our world and his, and letting his light shine through. Know that God goes with you everywhere that you go. Let's pray together. It's overwhelming, God, at times to realize that you're right here in the midst of all that happens in our lives, the good and the bad and everything in between. But we are so thankful that you have shown us in Jesus that you're not a faraway God, but you're right here, right now, God. That you love us no matter where we might find ourselves. That you care for us and you show us who you are. God, make us ever mindful to find you, to see your work all around us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.